Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Divorce. Just that word brings up a lot of emotions for people. Everything from frustration to failure to relief sometimes. And somehow we all know the reality of it. Either we've been through it, our parents have been through it, our friends have been through it, or we just know someone who's been through it. When divorce happens, the people involved often feel broken and hurt. And that's why this gospel reading is a very sensitive one. It can bring up all sorts of reactions. Right, we know the reality of divorce, and yet when Jesus is asked about it, he quotes Genesis. God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then he gives that line that's often used in wedding liturgies. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. It sounds like Jesus is saying marriage is good and divorce is bad. And therefore, people who are married, and particularly in their first marriage, are good, and people who are divorced are bad. But that is not what people who are experiencing a divorce need to hear. They already have a knife in the heart. They don't need Jesus to twist it. So let me reassure you, that is not what Jesus is saying here. Yes, the hurt is real, and Jesus knows that. Yes, Jesus takes marriage and relationships very seriously. But his comfort and his good news are real too. But to see how the good news shows up here, though, we need to start back at the beginning of this text. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Okay, now, why did the Pharisees ask this question? To test Jesus. They're trying to trick him into saying something stupid that they can later use against him. Now, of course, they're all smart guys, and they already know that it's lawful. So they think that if Jesus says, yes, it's lawful, then he's also saying, yes, it's okay. If he says, no, it's not lawful, then it shows that Jesus doesn't know the law. That's the trap. But Jesus avoids it by basically saying, yes, it's lawful, but that doesn't make it right. Not everything that is legal is moral. Now, of course, this is where it feels like Jesus is turning the knife. So we need to remember social context here. Today, when people get married, they often do so because they love each other. Right? Our society has this romantic notion of finding the one, falling in love, and living happily ever after. And this is why we like celebrating wedding anniversaries. Especially big ones like the 50th, right? Here's a couple who's living the dream. They have their happily ever after. Their marriage has lasted. But sometimes people today don't get married for love. They get married for money, or for lust, or for power, or for any number of reasons. And back in Jesus' day, people didn't get married for love either. They got married because it was a business transaction. Right, their society was built on the idea of honor and shame. You wanted to do things that would bring you honor and avoid those things that would bring you shame. And marrying well brought honor. So maybe the man agreed to marry the woman because it would give him an in with her family. Maybe the wife's family agreed to have her marry the man because it would promote their social standing. Whatever the arrangement, it was a business transaction. It was something mutually beneficial for both families. And it was set up by the bride and groom's parents. There was none of this romantic finding the one going on here. And this practice was so common that they even saw God as the one who made the transaction happen. Hence the phrase, what God has joined together. That means that phrase was not about God making two people fall in love. It's not like God is Cupid and hit these two people with an arrow. Instead, it was as if God made this business deal happen. And in this deal, the woman was transferred from her father to her husband, as if she were a piece of property. Sometimes today, women are still treated that way. Think of the custom of the father, quote, giving away the bride at the wedding. If women don't want to be seen as property, they should seriously reconsider having that moment in their wedding. But like many business deals, though, sometimes it doesn't work out. So you have to cut your losses and move on. The man might get a little bit of shame for screwing up the transaction set up by his parents. He would be ridiculed and criticized for not making it work, but the women were the ones who were really shamed. After a divorce, she would be tossed aside. She no longer had any family or social support. She was thrown out to the curb as if she were trash. It is to this that Jesus says no. Divorce may be legal, but that doesn't make it right. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and us that people should not be treated as objects. They should not be thrown out when they no longer suit you. This is why Jesus reminds them of Genesis. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Women are not property. They, like men, are created in the image of God. People are designed to be in relationship with each other, not to be used and discarded. So, does that mean all divorce is bad and all marriage is good? Well, sometimes people need to get divorced. Sometimes these two people are just better off being apart from one another. God wants healthy relationships, and sometimes it's healthier for two people not to be together anymore. It's a sad fact of our human condition. Sometimes our relationships don't always show love. As for marriage, Jesus is reminding the Pharisees that God's intention was for healthy relationships. And sometimes that plays out in marriages. And when it does, that's wonderful. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes marriages don't show the love that God intended. So that means marriage is not the be-all and end-all of human relationships. And divorce is not the be-all and end-all of human brokenness either. Did you hear that? Your relationship status does not make you right with God. And your relationship status does not condemn you in the eyes of God. In this sensitive text, Jesus raises the stakes for how seriously God takes healthy relationships. But in so doing, he also speaks out for those who are vulnerable and powerless, those who get tossed aside. He does it when he talks about divorce, and he does it at the end of the text with the children. The disciples tried to stop people from bringing children to him. But Jesus, quote, was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Now remember, children were among the powerless ones. They had little social standing. They were at the bottom of the social totem pole. And so Jesus reminds the Pharisees and his disciples and us that the kingdom of God belongs to people who are powerless and vulnerable. People like children. Like women who have been tossed aside. Like men who feel like a failure as a husband. In Jesus' day and in our day, divorce is a reality. Broken relationships are a reality. Treating people as objects is a reality. But what is also a reality is that Jesus is the one who makes us right with God, not our marital status. Jesus is right here with those who are hurting. He is right here with you if you are hurting. He comes to us in our brokenness and our pain and our mixed emotions, and he brings healing and wholeness and life. And so whatever your experience has been of divorce, if you've been through it, or your parents have been through it, or you know someone who's been through it, remember that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. In the midst of our broken world, Jesus will always be with you. For richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, and not even death can part you. When human relationships reflect that kind of love, that's fantastic. But when they don't, remember that Jesus is still faithful. And the kingdom of God still belongs to people like you. Even if a former spouse no longer loves you, Jesus still does. That's good news. And so in the name of the one who loves us no matter what, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.